I'm Tracy Sable tonight on EWTN News Nightly. High stakes election. Former President Trump heads to Arizona as Vice President Harris rallies in Georgia following her televised town hall. We have a report from Atlanta. The Catholic vote. Senator J.D. Vance writes a piece criticizing the vice president for her record with Catholics. We discuss how it will impact Catholic voters in Pennsylvania and around the country. Extended deal. We discuss the latest on the relationship between the Vatican and China, plus the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Pope Francis releases the fourth encyclical of his papacy. We talk to Frank Broca to learn what the Holy Father had to say. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of St. Raphael the Archangel. Our top story tonight, we begin with special campaign trail coverage of the 2024 election. Former President Donald Trump holds campaign events in Arizona and Nevada today. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris will hold what her campaign is calling a major rally tonight in the Atlanta suburbs. White House correspondent Owen Jensen takes us on the campaign trail in DeKalb County, Georgia. He reports from Clarkston, just east of Atlanta.
Our video shows people starting to gather for Vice President Kamala Harris's rally tonight near Atlanta. She just traveled from Pennsylvania to Georgia this afternoon after taking part in a town hall last night near Philadelphia.
We've got to get past this era of politics and partisan politics.
Harris says people deserve a better president than her opponent.
And they deserve a president who is focused on solutions, not sitting in the Oval Office plotting their revenge and retribution.
The economy may be the biggest issue in the election, but immigration and abortion also surface as major concerns. And Harris runs afoul of Catholic Church teaching with her support of abortion. She confirmed again last night she's willing to throw out Senate rules to overcome pro-life opposition.
I think we need to take a look at the filibuster, to be honest with you.
Harris is also losing momentum in national polls. The Wall Street Journal shows former President Donald Trump taking the lead, 47% to 45%, although it's still within the margin of error. Trump railed against Harris last night at a Turning Point Action rally in Duluth, Georgia.
This election is a choice between whether we will have four more years of incompetence, failure, and disaster, or whether we will begin the four greatest years in the history of our country.
Still, Democrats lined up early this afternoon for a chance to see Harris's rally tonight. We asked them what issues they're most concerned about.
For me personally, mostly, I feel like economy issues, economic issues are probably my biggest concern.
And that was Owen Jensen reporting for us tonight from just outside of Atlanta. Well, as the campaign enters its final stretch, high importance is being placed on the Catholic vote, specifically in the crucial swing state of Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Catholic Conference released numbers in 2020 showing 23% of the population as Catholic. That amounts to more than 3 million people of the state's estimated 13 million citizens. This comes as Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance, a practicing Catholic, wrote a recent article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette criticizing Vice President Kamala Harris and her record with Catholics. Pennsylvania is a state that President Biden won in 2020 by around 80,000 votes, partially due to his Catholic roots in Scranton. And some experts believe whichever way the Catholic vote leans in this pivotal swing state, it could determine the outcome in this presidential election. And joining us now is Brandon McGinley, editorial page editor for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brandon, great to be with you. I want to talk about the piece that Senator J.D. Vance wrote for your publication. But first, let's talk about Catholic voters in PA and how much weight they carry in this race.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you said, we're looking at about a quarter or so of the state identifies as Catholic. And traditionally, Catholics in Pennsylvania and around the country are a bellwether. When you look at now exit polls on these kind of smaller, you know, kind of subgroups aren't all can be, you know, a little bit difficult to pin down. But when you look at 2016 and 2020, you see Trump winning just barely among Catholics. And then in 2020, you see Biden winning just barely among Catholics. So where the Catholic vote in Pennsylvania goes will give us a good sense of where the whole state and the whole election will go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, do you think, you know, the Catholic vote can tip this race in PA? And also, what are the big issues motivating Catholic voters there?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely could. And I think that even just a few percentage points could make a big difference. I think when it comes to the big issues, I mean, there are kind of the classic issues that we think about when it comes to Catholic voters, abortion, other social issues, but also immigration. Over the years, the issues that motivate Catholic voters have somewhat converged with the general population. One thing that I think we're seeing, though, is that the Trump-Vance campaign, both in the piece that we ran today and in other statements that have come out and other pieces that have been published, seems to think that if they can motivate Catholic voters with the idea that the that Kamala Harris is actively hostile to the church, that might kind of shake some voters out of complacency.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit more about that article that J.D. Vance wrote for you.
Sure. And, you know, it's not my job to vouch for it, but I can say that he represents views that I'm certainly very familiar with among Catholics when it comes to Kamala Harris's history with regard to, for instance, criticizing a judicial nominee for being a member of the Knights of Columbus. I think there's no question that through her history, Ms. Harris hasn't always really understood the importance of Catholics as Catholics when it comes to voters. And I think that the Trump-Vance campaign sees that as an opportunity for them.
Brennan, not a whole lot of time left, but what are you seeing there, you know, on the ground as far as the Catholic vote? Which way are they swaying between the two candidates?
It's hard to say. I mean, you see Catholics for Kamala signs on some homes, and you also see, in neighborhoods that I know of a significant Catholic population, lots of Trump signs. So it's hard to say. I do think, though, that there is a sense among especially mass-going Catholics that as the culture and America's political culture seems to be becoming more and more hostile to them, they may be open to options on the right that they weren't in the past. So it would not shock me if Trump did rather well in the Pittsburgh area among Catholics.
All right, Brennan, thank you so much for coming on. Always appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, since the start of Joe Biden's presidency, millions of illegal migrants have entered the United States. Some have settled in large metropolitan cities like New York and Los Angeles. However, it is in the smaller towns and cities that experts say are draining resources. Lawmakers got an earful from officials in one small Wisconsin town. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales has that story.
Good evening, Tracy. Members of the House Judiciary Committee held a field hearing near Whitewater, Wisconsin, a town of some 16,000 that's been overwhelmed by more than 1,000 migrants who've arrived since 2022. Town officials say that they were given no advance warning, and now public services and resources are in crisis. They told lawmakers they need federal help.
The city has struggled to deal with the increasing strain on law enforcement resources, housing overcapacity, and the challenges associated with educating children with no formal background in schooling and often lacking basic English skills.
Local law enforcement say they need help too.
If Trump doesn't win this election, we are screwed. That's a quote from one of our sheriffs. Another sheriff, people don't understand how bad it is.
A father from Whitewater who lost his son to fentanyl blames the Biden administration.
This epidemic deserves more attention and a response as strong, bold, and determined as other issues have received in recent years. We secure our homes by locking doors and regulating who enters. Our government under the current administration is failing to do the same for our country.
No Democrats attended today's field hearing, but in the past they have defended the Biden-Harris policies, claiming the number of illegal crossings are slowing down. Senate Democrats say it's Republicans who voted against a bipartisan border security bill after former President Donald Trump came out against it.
We gave Republicans a second chance to show where they stand. Do they want to fix this so-called emergency, or do they want to show blind allegiance to the former president, even when they know he's wrong?
It's codifying what President Biden has done to this country, this clear and present danger and weakening presidential authority. That bill was a disaster. It was dead on arrival. And quite honestly, President Trump, I know he spoke out against it, but he had nothing to do with tanking that bill from my standpoint.
Republicans add if Democrats in the Biden-Harris administration really want to fix the open border crisis, all they need to do is reinstate Trump-era border policies like Remain in Mexico, which would force asylum seekers to wait in Mexico for their U.S. immigration hearings. No doubt this is a major issue this election cycle. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
Turning now to the Middle East, Israeli airstrikes hit a school in Gaza, killing at least 17 people. Those killed include women and children who were sheltering there. The Israeli military says that it targeted Hamas militants hiding inside of the school. This comes as the U.S. says that it is sending $135 million in aid to Palestinians in Gaza, the West Bank, and the region. Our Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Israel's war on Hezbollah should not escalate into a drawn-out operation. Take a listen to what he told reporters in Qatar earlier today.
As Israel conducts operations to remove the threat to Israel and its people along the border with Lebanon, we have been very clear that this cannot lead, should not lead to a protracted campaign.
Blinken says Israel has to take necessary steps to avoid civilian casualties. He also cautions against putting UN peacekeepers and the Lebanese armed forces at risk. And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including blocking a report. A doctor makes a surprising claim in the New York Times regarding a study about so-called gender-affirming care. And analysis from Congressman Chris Smith on the renewal of a deal between the Vatican and China. Doctor says she deliberately withheld publication of a nearly $10 million taxpayer-funded study on the effects of puberty blockers on American children. She says that she did so because the probe found the so-called treatments do not improve patients' mental health. In an interview with the New York Times, the doctor says that she was concerned the report would be, quote, weaponized by critics of so-called gender-affirming care for minors. Critics say the decision flies in the face of research standards and deprives the public of knowledge of a really important issue. Officials in Beijing are defending recent Coast Guard patrols in the disputed South China Sea.
中国的海警船是依据国际法和国内法
Beijing says that its ships follow all international laws. This comes after Indonesia says that it drove away a Chinese vessel in a disputed area of the South China Sea for the second time in 4 days. Chinese ships have regularly entered the area, fueling tensions between the countries. And staying in China, where officials say they recently renewed a deal with the Vatican over the appointment of bishops in the communist country as being done in, quote, a constructive spirit. Officials also say the accord was led an improvement of relations between Beijing and the Holy See. The extension announced earlier this week is the third since the original deal was signed back in 2018. This comes as the Hudson Institute says at least 10 Catholic bishops approved by the Vatican are either in indefinite detention, have disappeared, or have been forced out of their posts or under open-ended investigation by police. And for analysis, we turn now to Congressman Chris Smith, Republican from New Jersey and chairman of the Congressional Executive Commission on China. Congressman Smith, great to be with you again. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Tracy. Thanks,
absolutely. We appreciate it. First off, what more do you know about the bishops in China? The Hudson Institute says they are being detained, investigated, or they disappeared.
Yeah, Nina Shea did an excellent piece on the 10, at least 10 bishops who have been detained and really harassed, house arrest and worse. And one of those bishops that is mentioned, I met with in 1994, Bishop Xu of Baoding Province, and he has gone missing. He would be very elderly today, 92. But he was an amazing, amazing man of God who had no malice towards the Chinese government, and yet they persecuted him with nothing but hatred and venom. And unfortunately, they thinly disguise it now. They look like they're entering into a dialogue with the Vatican. The Chinese Communist Party is trying to co-opt the church, especially through synonymization, where everything that the church does has to comport with the dictates of Xi Jinping, the dictator of China, including the non-teaching of children about faith. Yeah. It's just incredible. You can't conform to the world like that and be true to the calling of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and you do so much work on China. Of course, we know you're a practicing Catholic as well. Yes. How do you balance the Vatican seeking improved relations with China with another renewal of a four-year deal on the appointment of bishops? Is this the best way for outreach with a communist country?
No, even when it was under discussion, I had contacted the Vatican, talked to high officials and said, please don't go down that route. You know, you got to understand the malevolence of Xi Jinping and his absolute hatred of faith and of God. And you know, he's doing this so he can control the church and not the other way around. So I think it's a colossal mistake. It'll be seen as so as we look back in history in years to come. And again, so many faithful people, including priests, bishops, nuns, and others who do not want to pledge their fidelity to the Chinese Communist Party are being coerced into doing so under pain of prison. And, you know, the Vatican should in no way be complicit in that. Plus, it also stifles the Vatican's voice, which is very powerful, on all other human rights issues. You know, I have a bill that passed the House almost unanimously about forced organ harvesting, where they target people of faith, primarily Falun Gong practitioners and Uyghurs from Xinjiang. They kill these 27-year-olds, average age, to take their organs. I've been shouting from the rooftops, where's the Vatican on that? They need to speak out on religious freedom, forced abortion, and all of the coercion involved in their ongoing population control program, and all the other human rights abuses for which they are flagrantly just getting worse. I can't go to China today. I'm barred by the Chinese Communist Party because I've held so many hearings and raised these issues. The Vatican should be doing the same.
Representative Smith, we have probably 30 seconds left or so, but I quickly want to pivot to something closer to home. Earlier this week, the Biden administration proposed a new rule on contraception, which would allow millions of people on private health insurance to get free birth control, such as condoms, birth control pills, or the morning after pill from local storefronts without a prescription. I want to get your thoughts on that and the impact this could have on the faithful.
Well, I do think there needs to be a much greater focus on deleterious effects of some of these things, including the morning after pill, because it's such a heavy dose of hormone that it has on young people in particular. You know, we are talking about potentially a catastrophic impact on the health and well-being of young women, and it is not being studied. We saw it even with RU-46 when both Obama, first Clinton, then Obama, and then Biden didn't even require reporting of adverse events when a woman got very, very sick or bled profusely or died as a result of the so-called abortion pill. You know, you can't cover this stuff up. And unfortunately, there's far too many people in this administration, and of course includes Harris, that want to cover every bit of it up and say that it's benign and has no possible negative effects health-wise.
And Congressman Smith, always good to be with you. Thank you so much for weighing in. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you.
A church leader from Indonesia says that he will not be elevated to a cardinal at a Vatican ceremony in December. Bishop Paschalis Bruno Schaeher says that he wants to, quote, grow in priestly life first. The 62-year-old says the Vatican accepted his request. The consistory for nearly two dozen new cardinals is set to be held on December 7th. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, a groundbreaking discovery for the faithful. What a team of researchers found in Armenia. Plus, no beating this heart. Learn more about the Holy Father's new encyclical on the love Christ has for all of us. Francis releases a new encyclical calling for a renewal of authentic devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He Loves Us is the fourth encyclical from Pope Francis. In it, the Holy Father says that the spirituality of the Sacred Heart offers a response to our modern society dominated by consumerism and technology, and also presents the heart of Jesus as the unifying principle in a fragmented world. And joining us now from Rome is Frank Rocha, senior Vatican analyst at EWTN News. Frank, great to be with you again today. So tell us, what is the subject of Pope Francis's new encyclical, Dilexit Nos?
Well, the meaning of the title in Latin is He Loved Us, and the focus is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is, of course, in Catholic tradition, a central symbol of Christ's love for humanity, and the object of a very popular devotion. We're right now observing 350 years since St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in France had visions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But in the encyclical, the Pope also reflects on the meaning of heart in the wider culture as a symbol of our core emotions and relationships. The Pope says that it's heart that allows us to understand ourselves and also to love other people, to show kindness, especially to the marginalized, in emulation of Christ's love for humanity.
Frank, does it touch on any issues in the contemporary world?
Yeah, the Pope addresses several pressing issues, including war, artificial intelligence, and consumerism. And he does so very much in a tradition of saints over the centuries, from St. Augustine to John Henry Newman. He writes that there's no AI algorithm that can capture the poetry and love that are so essential to human relationships and human experience. He laments that there are so many people captive to consumerism that prevents them from seeing beyond their own immediate and petty needs. And he describes his heartbreak at seeing elderly women in war-torn countries mourning the death of their grandchildren. But the Pope always brings back these reflections. He links them back to the values represented by the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah, and coming up, as it does during the Synod on Synodality in Rome, does the encyclical have anything to say about the governance or structures of the Church itself? And does it have a message for delegates to the Synod?
Well, yeah, the Pope's words are broadly relevant to current debates in the Church between conservatives and progressives. The Pope warns against attachment to outdated structures that he says can lead to fanaticism and rigidity. At the same time, he warns against an obsessive reorganization or worldly projects or a secular ways of thinking that lead away from the Church's spiritual mission. So the Pope is warning both conservatives and progressives against focusing on structures and ideologies instead of the goals of compassion and unity in the Church.
All right, Frank, thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us about all this. We really appreciate it. Frank Rocco, Senior Vatican Analyst for EWTN News. God bless.
Thank you.
All right, now to France, where you may need to pay up if you want to see one of the country's most iconic landmarks. 5 years after being severely damaged by a fire, Notre Dame Cathedral is set to reopen in December. But France's cultural minister is proposing visitors be charged a fee of roughly $5. The goal is to raise money to preserve religious buildings, which is the responsibility of the state. Donations from around the world funded the cost of restoring Notre Dame. The fee would not apply to those attending Mass or other religious services. Well, finally tonight, a team of researchers in Armenia make a groundbreaking discovery for the faithful around the world. A 4th century ancient church was founded in what is considered the first Christian nation in the world. This makes it the oldest documented church in Armenia. The researchers spoke with EWTN's Catholic News Agency about the importance of the findings, saying this is, quote, where the apostles Thaddeus and Bartholomew preached Christianity in the early first century. Ali, thank you for watching tonight. And remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night and God bless.